our new peanut butter protein crunch bowl. It's traffic time.
9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture. With daily use.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey Sports Station.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Ryan Hughley is out. They done turned the steering wheel of the drive over old Dirty Red. Now, uh-oh. Y'all, hey, buckle up.
Uh-oh.
Buckle up.
Wait a minute.
Get your ass ready. We got 4 hours, baby. I tell you what, we're down at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, $59.99. Come through. Bud Light raffle items, 2 pairs of tickets, 2 tailgate wristbands, 2 $25 Visa gift cards. We've already had Texas defensive lineman Foley, Fotokasi, and now we're joined by what I believe – is the top college football analyst in the game, Danny Cannell. Danny, how you doing, man?
What's up, Clint? How we doing, man? It is great to be on with you today. Thank you for saying that, man. I'm assuming you say that to everybody that comes on here, but I'm not going to let, you know, I'll go ahead and take the compliment.
Well, look, Danny, here's the deal. You didn't take the compliment. You turned it down, but here's the deal. They don't typically let me drive, so I don't get to introduce. So I would. The one time I do drive, I damn sure ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, my brother.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're the best host of this show that I've ever the best hosting I've ever heard of when I've come on this show. So I'm fired up to be here now.
We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, not at y'all's private little location.
I hope Ron's ass is listening, man. Hey, Danny, let's get into this thing, man. Let's start with locally, obviously, we're in Houston. You know that. And let's start with the Longhorns, man. Just the quarterback situation there with Arch Manning. We know how healthy the quarterback situation there is, obviously, with those two guys. But with what's gone on the last couple of weeks, how do you view that situation? Just your thoughts on Sark and the Texas Longhorns quarterback.
Obviously, it's the best quarterback room in the country. But I also love the way Sark has handled this. And I love the way that Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning have handled this, because I've been in a lot of different quarterback rooms, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Clint. Like, some of them are healthy, where the relationships are really tight, there's good vibes, everyone's supportive of one another. Other times, I've been in there where there's jealousy, there's guys thinking, I'm better than that guy, I should be playing, and it's contentious. And it really can derail a team, and it makes it uncomfortable for everyone involved. But I thought Sark handled it beautifully last year, when after spring football, he shut it down and he said, this is Quinn Ewers' team. And I thought Arch Manning knew that, but I thought it was important that everyone out there knew it and that there wasn't a quarterback competition and that Arch Manning was just a freshman like all the other freshmen in that class, even though we all know Arch is not just your average freshman. So it started off there. Then I do love how Arch checked his ego at the door when he got there and just went to work, didn't do a lot of public, you know, speaking media, didn't do a lot of commercials. I know he's gotten more lately, but I thought, and he always deferred to Quinn as the starter. So I think there's just a really, really healthy relationship there with all parties involved. I think that has kind of really helped the team. And by the way, I think Texas is the best team in the country. I know Bama leapfrogged them last week because of their big win over Georgia, but I still think Texas is the most complete team, and the depth they have showcasing they can get by if the quarterback gets hurt and has to miss a couple games like Quinn did. I think they're deep. I think they are the best team in the country right now.
Well, Danny, you answered my question before I could even ask you, because you said even before that that they have the best quarterback room in the country. And my question to you was going to be, how much of the lesson learned with Quinn being out and Arch playing the way he did was that this Texas team is one that could win a national championship no matter which quarterback that they put out there?
That's the big point right there, and that's what I was so impressed. And I was at – you know, it was interesting. So I was at Michigan. I'll tell you this story. I was at Michigan for Michigan USC, which was a great game. And it was just a couple weeks after Texas had been there. And I was on the field before the game, and I was talking to a Michigan guy, and we were talking about USC. And I'm like, man, they look pretty good. You know, they have some big offensive linemen, some big defensive linemen. They look really athletic. This is going to be a tough challenge for Michigan. And he goes, "You should have seen Texas." And I mean, it was like, oh, really? And we also saw what Texas did to Michigan on the field too, right? I mean, that was – see, that's where I think that win was just as impressive, if not more, of what Alabama did to Georgia in their own backyard. What Texas did on the road at the Big House I thought was really impressive. But they're just deep all around. They've been able to handle injuries at the running back position. The one position that I think has been the biggest question mark, and the one that probably will remain, is just the interior of that defensive line, which I, you know, because of course they lost the two big dudes last year in the interior. I think they're holding up just fine, and I think Sark has done a great job building the roster, and I think we know the offensive firepower they have. I just think they're the most complete team in the country.
That voice you hear is Danny Cannell. Danny joins us live courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference highs and Heisman, and college football week 6 lines. All things college football at Bet Online. Danny, we talked a lot about Texas. And you mentioned a little earlier that Alabama-Georgia game. And I mean, that was one for the ages, man. Just to me, one of the bigger stories as we talk about top programs in America is Jalen Milroe surviving the head coach change and fitting a system that I had questions whether he could fit it. I had questions whether, hey, is Kalen DeBoer going to meet him in the middle? What is that going to look like? When it comes to powerhouse programs, that was one of my headline topics, right? Just your thoughts on how that's worked out, and if you had some questions about it initially as well.
Yeah, I think almost everybody did when you looked at Jalen Milroe, who, man, what a great career story it is of perseverance. And I kind of know a lot of quarterbacks, when they're young, they face adversity. Let's not forget, it was just over a year ago he got benched. He didn't even play against South Florida in that game. And they played two other quarterbacks, and his career looked like it could have gone a bunch of different directions. He stayed positive. He went out there. He supported the other quarterbacks. He was one of the biggest cheerleaders on the field that night. And I think really it's, of course, it's his physical capabilities, which are off the charts. He's an incredibly gifted runner. He's becoming a really gifted passer. But I think what makes him most impressive is his mental makeup, his mental toughness. And I thought that was the one thing that I wanted to see Jalen Milroe develop, was as a passer. And I was curious how he would do with learning a new system in Kalen DeBoer's system, where we saw Michael Penix last year at Washington underneath him handle a lot at the line of scrimmage, had a lot on his plate. And Jalen Milroe has picked that up. And I think this is a credit to both of them, because I think Kalen DeBoer, the system isn't exactly the same. Penix wasn't that much of a runner. But where Milroe has really developed is he's embraced him as a runner. But his mid-level pass game, last year he threw the deep ball as good as anybody, but it was more of, all right, it's going to be all or nothing in that offense. They really just thrived off the deep ball and checkdowns. He was not very accurate on the underneath passes. But this year, to where they are, completing 73% of his passes, making great decisions, and then to make that, I know Ryan Williams is insane, but some of the throws that he had to him were absolutely beautiful. There's a definitive reason why Jalen Milroe right now is the favorite for the Heisman, because he's playing like the best player in college football.
All right, Danny, so Texas A&M has an undefeated Missouri team that's coming into town. I want to get your thoughts on this game and what has stood out to you about Texas A&M on both sides of the ball so far this season.
Sure. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. The thing that jumps out the most on the offensive side of the ball for the Aggies is the change at quarterback, which yes. I know, and it was interesting because Eli Drinkwitz even, you know, he alluded to the depth chart, which still lists Connor Wigman as the starter. He said, that's just semantics. We're planning for Marcel Reed. And that's who I think, you know, it's interesting because I think if you had a 7-on-7 drill at practice, I bet Connor Wigman would shine and he'd probably look better than Marcel Reed. But where Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator, has really embraced Marcel Reed is his running ability. And that's where the game is going. That's where the game is evolving to. And I think you'll continue to see improvements in Marcel Reed as a passer. And most importantly, he hasn't turned the ball over. He's been really clean with the football. And that will always find you an edge with where you are in the quarterback race and the quarterback battle, and a lot of times where it leads you to wins, and that's where they are. The defense side of the ball, and I don't remember if I told you about this before. I think you guys already knew about him from the spring game, but Nick Skorton, the job that he's done, the transfer from Purdue, I think he's one of the better, you know, edge rushers in the country. The defense, I think, and we saw that against Notre Dame, has always been, you know, played the part, and you have a defensive-minded coach, Mike Elko. So, like, you combine that defense with an offense now that seems like it's come to life with Marcel Reed calling the shots at quarterback, and I like this Texas A&M team, and I look at them, this game is huge because the way the schedule unfolds and the way it could set up is that you could have a one-loss Texas A&M hosting the Longhorns on November 30th, which would be a dream matchup for college football fans everywhere. I'm sure for Aggie fans, I'm sure for Longhorn fans, that would be absolutely insane. But as I've learned this year, you can't ever just start chalking up wins, especially the way the competitive nature and parity across college football. But the schedule does set up very nicely if they can get through this game.
Danny, if I remember correctly, you and I had a conversation about being high on A&M because of the schedule and being higher on Wegman than a lot of folks and possibly being a team that could, with that schedule, sneak into the college football playoffs. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think we had that conversation. Do you think that ship has sailed for Texas A&M, or do you think now having ultimately two quarterbacks that they can win games with possibly, do you think that helps them?
Oh, absolutely. Last year Florida State got burned by the, you know, quarterback getting hurt and the team looking worse. I think, you know, what the rule was put in for, and this was my interpretation of it, was that if you had a player get injured and you had another one step in and maybe you had lost a game like Texas A&M to Notre Dame and there was a quarterback in there and then you had a quarterback come in who was an improvement, which I think you could argue right now that Marcel Reed has been an improvement, that loss would look different. And when I mean different, it doesn't look as penalizing because maybe if Marcel Reed starts that game, they win. You know, so that's the way I always interpreted that rule. So, yeah, I think that's a huge benefit for A&M if it does in fact work out that way and Reed ends up starting the rest of the season, which I don't know how you guys feel. I'm under that assumption. I know Elko is still alluded to, hey, Connor Wigman's getting healthy. And I guess you're kind of playing with house money because you can keep rolling Marcel Reed out there until maybe he struggles. Like if he threw a couple picks in the first half, you go to Wigman and, you know, you can make that change or you can do it against Mississippi State. But I think you roll with the hot hand. It's not like Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers. Like Quinn Ewers has established himself as the entrenched starter. He's won at Alabama and at Michigan. I don't care if Arch Manning had thrown 5 touchdowns every game. I'm giving the ball back to Quinn Ewers in that example. This is different. Connor Wigman is not somebody who's, you know, played a lot of games that is the leader of that team and had, you know, just tremendous success. He's had moments and flashes, but what we saw against him from him in Notre Dame was extremely disappointing and concerning, and that's why I think it's a pretty easy decision for Mike Elko.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you right there, man, because I'll be honest, when I watch Reed play, this is not – like I hope – and I hadn't heard anybody do it, but I hope nobody's couching this guy into a guy that can just make the off-script, off-platform type plays, and he's got some explosiveness and some twitch, and he can create when the play's not just right. Because watching him play, man, this guy can spin the rock. Now, he's young, and you can tell things are moving really fast for him in from a coverage perspective and in the pocket. But when you talk about – if you're watching him play, man – one thing that C.J. Stroud here in Houston talked a lot about is micro movements in the pocket. You know, not mm-hmm. bailing when you get a little bit of pressure, just to slide step and stay in the pocket and deliver the football. If you watch him through that lens, he's pretty damn good. I mean, he's it's a convincing quarterback product to stick with. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Danny.
Danny, you mentioned earlier about Jalen Milroe being the Heisman front runner, but it's not like he's the only contender. I want to ask you specifically about another Houston guy, Cam Ward. Obviously, Travis Hunter is doing things at a level, you know, both sides of the ball that I don't think we've seen before. Who's your Heisman favorite, and just what sort of stands out to you about these standouts that I mentioned to you? Cam Ward, a local guy, and, of course, Travis Hunter, what he's doing out there in Colorado.
Cam Ward has been phenomenal. And, Friday night he had a national stage, and he wasn't playing great against Virginia Tech. He fumbled. He had a couple interceptions. But he did put his team back in a position to win, and he did have really a Heisman moment when he had that kind of scramble around play, and he flipped it out to his – tight end, I think it was. I forget the exact player who he got it to, and it was a huge play that got them down there for a score. Plus, he's putting up astronomical numbers, like numbers that we haven't seen in the history of Miami Hurricane football, which is pretty outstanding considering some of the quarterbacks that have gone through there. My concern with Cam Ward is this. The schedule isn't that great, and I look at opportunities for him to have eyeballs on him, right? Like we saw this past Saturday night, Jalen Milroe, 12 million people tuned in for that game. This weekend, they play at 10:30 at night on ESPN against Cal, which is going to be a tough game for them. But, like, how many Heisman voters are going to be staying up too late to watch that? Then they go on the road to Louisville. The fact that Florida State is down and as bad as Florida State is actually hurts Cam Ward in the Heisman, because that could have been a game that he could have shined in and really had a performance that people would have been tuning in for. I don't know if it'll be the same. And then they have a bunch of blowouts. So statistically, he'll be right in the mix because he's going to put up monster numbers. He can win it in the ACC championship game. That'll probably what it'll determine Cam Ward. For Travis Hunter, who I've been saying since before the season started, he is the best player in college football, the best pure football player, because no one else does what he does. That win against UCF was huge, because I do think you have to get to the magical number of 8 wins. And I don't, it shouldn't be this way. I'm just telling you the way I think it is and the way Heisman voters think. You have to get to 8 wins, because I just think the perception is if you are the greatest player in college football, you help elevate your team to win football games, which he did against UCF, again, going over 100 yards rushing, coming up with big plays on the defensive side of the ball. And what makes it more realistic now is that they do sit at 2-0 in the top 12, in the Big 12 rankings. They do. You start looking at the schedule, the Big 12 has been so competitive, and he does have a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders who's playing as good as anybody, that the 8 wins all of a sudden looks way more likely than 4 or 5, which was their win total coming in. So I think Travis Hunter is very much a real player. I would just keep an eye on that 8-win magical number. If they get to 9, I think he's almost a certainty that he'll win the Heisman Trophy, but we got to see him get there first.
I got him. If he stays healthy, he's getting it for me. 124, 126 snaps.
It's unreal, man.
I'm never. I'm not a historian. But, I mean, we talk about two-way players, guys that caught one or two balls in a game and were crazy athletes. This dude's going out there.
How's he not cramping up? I don't understand.
They're wired different, man. Every now and then you get one of them dudes that's just wired different. That's wild. For sure. Danny, we do this little thing at the end of almost every show, just a little best bet segment, man. And I know that's your game. You're in that world, man. If you've got one bet, and if you want to go tonight on the Buck Falcons game, that'd be cool. If you want to stick to college, that's fine. Just give me your top bet of either tonight or the weekend.
I'll go with the best bet of the weekend, and I'll keep it right there in Texas. I really like the Aggies this week. I do. Missouri, I look at Missouri, they have a 9 in front of them. They're ranked number 9, right? So they get a lot of attention because of that. They're undefeated, but they have played some scary games where they're just and some people are like they're playing down to the level of competition. I just think they're not that good as we think they are. They've, in a struggle against Boston College, they escaped that one. They went to overtime versus Vanderbilt. Brady Cook, I think he's going to struggle against that front 7 of the Aggies. I think Nick Scorton has a huge game, and I'm going to ride the Marcel Reed train and say it keeps going. So I'll lay the points with Texas A&M. They also, Brady Cook called out the 12th man, and Elko's challenging the 12th man. That place is going to be bonkers. Man, give me the Aggies. I'll lay them with the Aggies.
I love it, man. Danny, that's Danny Cannell. Danny, I appreciate you joining us once again, my brother.
You guys are awesome, man. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.
You got it, man. Danny Cannell joins us live, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week six lines. That's Bet Online. Always good to have Danny on, man.
I thought he was going to give me something on Sam Houston State UTEP tonight, man. I was hoping he'd give me something a little bit more in the weeds, but I can appreciate his fervor and his energy around the Aggies, man. I can feel that.
It's wild the way, I mean, because the college football landscape is so broad, man. It's hard to do what my man does and just be able to talk any game anybody can throw at him in depth.
Oh, man, I was checking out their podcast, their Cover 3 podcast that he does just a little while ago before the show. And, man, they went an hour and a half. It was really college football heaven. I wish I had time to go through all of it. But they went an hour and a half on the Thursday, Friday slate, the weekend before their picks. Danny, we didn't get into this, but Danny's picks didn't go too well last week. I didn't want to mess with him about that too much. But, man, it is a good time, a good listen, man, for sure.
All right, the Texans got the Bills this week, and there's a small problem. The Texans are the most penalized football team in NFL. This topic has been on the docket for about 3 days now. We hadn't circled back to it. We got to hit that next right here on Sports Radio 16.